to our beautiful deep community, I want to assure you the deeper is going nowhere. And the same incredible content will be released every week, but now through Arise. It is going to be less trauma heavy and more inspirational, uplifting, but it will still challenge and push you to grow. For all your deeper episodes, they are still available every fortnight. You can still get your deep hit with the deeper subscription.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
It was just one of those hard things that I saw the life that I wanted leave, because we'd never discussed having four, and four is also a lot. And I was just sad. Like, I was really, really sad.
Welcome to The Deep. I'm Zoe Marshall. In my early 20s, a lot of traumatic things happened. And ever since then, I have had this fascination with people and their stories. This is The Deep. I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water, and community. I pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging. Jordana longed for a baby girl, but instead she was blessed with three boys in a row. To some, it may be trivial, but to others, gender disappointment is a real thing. And it's heartbreaking. The grief of the loss of the child you had imagined and the guilt that follows is what we discuss today.
Jordana, welcome.
Thanks, O.
We are discussing motherhood.
Yeah.
Today we're going to discuss an element of it that is difficult to admit. It's going to be heavily judged, very misunderstood.
Yeah.
And this has been an experience for you.
Yeah.
Gender disappointment.
Three times over.
Really?
Not so much the first time, but definitely two and three.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had a baby boy?
Yeah.
You found out you're having a baby boy?
Yeah.
And what was the initial?
When I had my first, I found out, although I was thinking about it last night, I can't really remember where I was when I found out I had a boy. I can remember the other two, but I can't remember the first. So I don't think my gender disappointment was that
Heavy.
I think in my mind, I was the older girl, so I was like, it would be nice to kind of repeat the family history, no, which is silly, but so is life.
Yes.
And then found out I was having a boy, and I was like, that's okay, because we're definitely going to have more, so it's fine, like, move on. The second time, I remember it was, so Cooper, my eldest, would have been probably around 18 months at the time, and we called, we were all sitting there on the couch, and, you know, they're like, do you know what it is? And I was like, oh, I've been, you know, and I wouldn't have said manifesting at the time, but I said something like, I keep seeing that I'm having a boy, but, you know, just trying to help myself not be too disappointed. And she's like, well, you guessed right. I mean, she obviously didn't hear what I was saying, but and she's like, oh, well, you guessed right. It's a boy. And, you know, my husband was all excited, and I don't think Cooper really knew what
was going on.
He had no idea, but I immediately went flat, tears. And so my husband was like, Coops, let's just go. We're going to go, you know, leave mummy for a little bit. And obviously on that same phone call, they tell you the baby's healthy and all that sort of stuff. So it's not like, obviously it's hard, and that's where a lot of the judgment comes in, because yes, it's a healthy baby boy, but in reality, that's amazing and I'm glad he's healthy. But at the same time, there's still an element where it's like, I still wished it was a girl. I want a daughter. It's not even like against Mason, who was my second baby boy. It was not him. It was nothing against him.
It had nothing
to do with him. It was purely, I wanted a daughter at least. And then I was like, okay, I got over that fairly quickly.
What did it mean though for you to have a daughter?
Look, for me, and I know it varies for everybody, but I have a great relationship with my mum, always have, extremely close. And I wanted to have the same experience. And I know that that is never a guarantee. Mm. Just because I have a daughter doesn't mean I'll have the same relationship with her the way I do with my mum. But there are all these things that when you have a boy, you kind of have to let them go at some point. I know it's the future and it's a long time away, considering they're only still in utero at this point, and I'm worried about their wedding day. But I am on the flip side, and I know what it's like, the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship. And I will state for the record, I have a great relationship with my mother-in-law. I'll put it out there. She's wonderful. She's extremely helpful, but it's not the same relationship that I have with my mum. It's just different.
Mm.
And I, you know, in my head, I'm like, okay, another mother-in-law experience. And you kind of do have to step back and not be in their lives nearly as much as with daughters. I know that's really
silly. Do you mean as like adult women?
As adult women. And I know everyone is their own personality and probably will be like, mum, you're in my space and, you know, get out of my space. And, you know, they'll be teenagers at some point, which is so frightening. And that will definitely happen. But it's like you kind of lose them a bit as teenagers, but as adults, you kind of get them back. Because once they also have babies, they're like, please be in my life. Don't leave me.
So, and you're thinking with a male, if you had like a heterosexual couple that like mum, dad, traditional roles and all of those things is what you're kind of basing this information on.
Exactly.
Is that if they had a partner, a wife, they will be taken from you and taken more into that side of the family. Is that what you're interpreting?
Yeah, not even that side, but you can't just be in their lives nearly as much, which is silly because you don't know what the future holds. I don't know who my children are going to marry.
Or who they're going to be, I guess, as men. Or who they're going to be
and what the situation is of their partner, whether it's a same-sex partner or whether or not who they do marry doesn't have a great relationship with their mum. All these things are all, you know, sheets in the wind. We don't know.
Yes.
But at the time, it's all you can focus on.
So for you growing up, when you were little, did you imagine having a baby girl?
Always.
Really?
I'm very girly. I mean, kids in general, but I think I'm very good. Like, love going to ballet and love doing. And it's not that I can't do that with my sons, but they're not interested. And I'm not forcing that on them.
Okay.
Because it's not who they are.
Okay.
Like Cooper, for example, his first word was truck.
Yep.
Very distinct on the T, by the way. I know it could have sounded very different, but he definitely was just. And I never forced it. I never had the, you know, blues and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was very monochrome in my home.
Yeah.
And the toys were as such, even though I got some flack for that too. But it was just, that was what he was drawn to. Walked past construction sites, obsessed with construction sites.
Okay.
Balls, all that yes. sort of thing. So I was like, what is the point
of trying to get him into a ballet class?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because I'd end up kicking and screaming.
Okay.
So I'm not doing
so
it.
So you had like a vision, because I grew up, obviously when I was really little, I had baby girl dollies.
Yeah.
But then when I was in my teens and adulthood, I didn't ever have a vision of children really at all. And then when I thought of them, they were genderless.
Yeah.
They were just blobs. And so I know I can't relate to this, but I'm sure so many women, especially people I know, are like the heartbreak.
Yeah. It's actual heartbreak.
The grief.
The grief. And jump forward to finding out for the third time for my new baby.
Did you do things, though, through conceiving that were like old wives' tales?
Yeah.
Did you?
I did. Look, I didn't do everything.
What are they?
Okay,
tell me.
So the ones that I kind of believed in were the ones like having sex before ovulation, which kind of made sense to me.
Because of swimmers that are fast.
Exactly, all that sort of thing. But I don't have.
Did you do the socks on and the socks off or the doggy or the missionary?
I did not do the, like, a pink onesie under your pillow. I'm like, I'm sorry, if that, if that's what you're basing your gender on, it's not happening. Like, that is just no. I'm more.
But you read it. That's news to me.
But I read it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am not doing that.
Were there any other wacko ones?
There was nothing. The method that I followed was probably not the best for me because I don't have the most in sync cycle.
Okay.
And my ovulation is not that predictable.
So you could have just been shooting for the boy again.
100%.
Never knowing.
And never known. And I did.
Or if that even works.
Or if that even works. It might work for some people. And we don't know. We don't know on the flip side what my husband's got going on, that he might not have as many
of
female sperm.
Oh, is that a thing?
Apparently, if he runs marathons, which he has told me he is not going to do, because it lowers the testosterone.
Well, I have heard that too, but I can't. Well, I've got one of each, because if there's all of these myths that if the man is fitter than the woman, you have girls. But if the woman is fitter than the man, that's a boy. I think it's all nonsensical.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I think it is what it is at the end of the day.
Let's go to current day.
Yeah.
We find out third baby. Tell me about this day for you.
We were flying out to our holiday in Fiji. We landed in a cyclone.
Oh.
The children were behaving as such. So it was not a great day. And in the back of my mind, I'd done the test before, but they said they wouldn't call me before we got back from our trip. We were there for a week. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's okay. And all the while, I'd had a very different pregnancy this time, with the first two really similar in terms of spotting before I found out. So I had an implantation bleed. I was not nauseous. All these things were the same with the first two. Third one, I was really sick. I couldn't look at salad anymore. I was like, and my mom's like, don't think of it. In the back of her mind, she's like, it is a girl. In the back of my mind, I'm like, it's a girl, because it's so different.
Yes.
And so in my head, my brother's like, he's desperate to do a gender reveal. So, you know, I said, okay, if you're desperate to do a gender reveal, I don't know why he wanted to do one, but he wanted to do one. But I said to him, I will find out first, because I don't want to have
that everyone watching
on record. That would be terrible. So we get to Fiji. We're desperately thinking, do we want to stay? Because it's
so wet, so miserable.
So miserable. The boys are actually just so miserable with us. And so then I get this phone call saying, we've got your results. And so I said to my husband, do I call or do I wait till we come back? And he's like, you are going to have the most miserable trip.
If you don't know.
If you don't know. So just call. So
and you know back. The odds here.
I know the odds are not in my favor. Well, as you add in, it's not 50-50 anymore.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. All right. But you knew this, having a third child.
100%.
Sure. Okay. So continue.
So I call back and, you know, obviously the first thing's most important. Baby's really healthy. Great. Do you want to find out the gender? Yes. You know, just like, congratulations, you're having a boy. And it was like I almost heard my heart break, like literally, and I just broke down and sobbed. And my husband was in the bathroom and he came out and he knew that was not an excited cry.
Mm.
And I wasn't going to tell the family because we, you know, my brother, as I said, was desperate for this gender reveal. And he's like, just ring your mum, because you don't have the best poker face, which I don't. And you just want to, like, just talk to her about it. And so I rang my mum, and obviously, you know, FaceTime is really sketchy at the time because of the cyclone and everything else. And so she says to me, first she couldn't hear me, but she could see my face, and she thought something was wrong with the baby. So then she was terrified. And then when I rang back and said it was a boy, she was relieved in a way, because she thought something was wrong with the baby. Mm. So she was kind of like, it's okay. You know, you're going to love him anyway, which is true. And it was, you know, it was one of those things, but it's just because we always said, we're going to have three. We're stopping at three. And the third was a boy. And then it was the vision of everything I saw for myself with a daughter, just go. And it is, it's like a grief you just can't expect, and you just don't know how to get yourself out of it straight away. And it's, you know, it's not like I could just sit by the pool and drink my sorrows away, because I'm pregnant. So it was just one of those hard things that I saw the life that I wanted leave, because we'd never discussed having four, and four is also a lot. And I was just sad. Like, I was really, really sad.
Were you resentful?
I wasn't resentful. I think I was more angry at my own body, I think, more than anything else. Because I was like, why? When I say tried, those were silly
things
and was never a guarantee in the first place. But I was like, I did everything. I took these supplements and this, and I had an iron infusion before. And, you know, I just really, like, it was really purposeful this time. There was nothing sexy about it at all.
Mm.
And I still couldn't do it. My husband also, he felt bad, because he knows it's obviously the sperm that dictates what the gender is. So he was also heartbroken for me. Obviously, he also wanted a different, and I feel bad because I feel like I took a lot of the his space away for also feeling it, because he's entitled to also, he's got two sons. He wanted maybe also a different experience as well.
Is that true for him?
Yeah. And he's like, he wanted it for me. I mean, he's obviously thrilled. He's got three sons. He's got a whole brood coming his way. But at the same time, it's different. It's different fathering boys and girls.
Mm.
And so I think he was also, even though, you know, he was just happy they were healthy, I think he also kind of wanted a different experience.
Yeah. It's such a brave thing you're doing, because so many people cannot have children at all.
Oh, yeah.
So many people have very ill children and babies, and they just want a healthy baby.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I guess the privilege of
it is that from
and you know this.
I know this, and I'm coming from a huge privileged position in that I have been able to conceive naturally. I have had three pregnancies and three babies. I had scares, but I had three
pregnancies, healthy babies.
Three healthy babies. So I know what that would sound like to someone else who is literally trying and cannot. But it's a different experience. It's not because I'm pregnant, someone else isn't getting pregnant. It's my lived experience. And that doesn't take away from the sadness that anybody is experiencing from infertility, or God forbid, their babies are not well and they've got to deal with lifelong issues. That's not it. It's literally my experience.
And a lot of women like you.
Yeah.
And that's why we're having this conversation, because no one will talk about this publicly.
Yeah.
And when they do, they will be crucified. But it is still happening day in, day out.
And
I'm sure when you started saying,
yeah,
I'm really disappointed, honestly, people would have told you their truth.
Yeah. And I did have, well, it's so interesting because there's one, when someone says, oh, what are you having? And I say, I'm having a boy. And they're like, oh, what do you have? And I'm like, oh, two boys. And they're like, oh.
Is that true?
So true. Someone actually said, I'm so sorry. And it's really hard because.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm already feeling the disappointment anyway. But then having people who, A, I don't know, and B, just feeling sorry for me made it feel 10 times worse.
And real, I guess.
And very real.
Validating.
And, yeah. And very much like, oh, my God, like this is, you know, constantly going to be, my life is explaining, you know, I've got three boys. And everyone's like, oh, you know, you could always try. Like, are you going to try? That would be like the next thing.
Next question.
Are you going to try again? And I'm like, well, I'm still pregnant with three. I feel like I've just got to
let me get through this.
If four is a possibility in life.
I can relate to this a little bit, because people would say weird things to me when I was pregnant with Eva, and they'd say, what are you having, a girl?
Yeah.
Do you have any other kids, a boy? Aren't you clever? I'd be like, do you know how many times they said that? And I was like,
yes, my uterus
I am
is super
so
clever.
Intelligent down there.
Yeah.
I knew what to do. Or perfect pigeon pair. And yeah. I was like, how old fashioned?
It is.
How many times people would think that that's
a normal thing to say? I know. Like, why?
Like, I've achieved this. It's the weirdest.
You've achieved the, like, whole package of a family because you've
bizarre.
Got one of each.
And I'd be so surprised by the terminology. But I'm only bringing that up because I can see then how they would say, it's the same thoughts they're having in relation to three boys.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this boy coming and we're disappointed and we're feeling grief. This is a full-on question. Does any part of you not want this pregnancy?
So interesting. So I couldn't even say the word abortion. I actually physically couldn't say that. And that isn't because I begrudge anyone having that choice. That is, like, I will unequivocally say women should have a choice over their body.
Absolutely.
1,000% over and over again. But for me, I could not, and I don't think for my husband, I couldn't even say it. We were having this conversation. I remember where we were. And I was like, I can't even get the word out. And I don't think you would ever look at me the same way if I said I didn't want to have this baby because it was a boy. And he was like, you know, I'd support you, whatever. And I said, yeah, I know, but I don't really think so. And I value our relationship way too much. We've been together for 20 years. I could not give that up for what I know the minute that Nate arrived, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter who he was, what gender he was. I was going to be obsessed with him anyway.
Yeah.
But someone in my family did say that to my mum. And my mum's like, are you kidding? Like, she's not going to announce this and then just reel it on back and be like, oh, no.
They said, would she?
Yeah. What's she going to do about it?
Oh, what's she going to do?
And mum's
about
like,
having three boys.
Yeah.
This isn't.
It's not.
It's not a.
It's not a. Financial thing. It is not. It is.
Like a genetic disorder.
It's not at all. There is literally nothing wrong with my child.
It's wild that a third party would think it.
Yeah. And my mum's like,
that isn't living an experience at all.
Yeah.
Entwined with this. So in saying that, the fact that you spoke to your husband in an indirect way about it with some understanding, that's how important this was to you. This is how impactful.
It was huge. I mean, I obviously spoke to my therapist about it because, you know, there was – I spoke to her. Obviously, I started seeing her after having kids just to kind of keep myself in check and, you know, all that sort of thing. But I hadn't spoken to her in a really long time. And when I found out I was having a boy, my husband's like, the first thing you're doing is making an appointment for yourself because – you just need to talk it out with somebody else. And when I spoke to her about it, she said, you know, it is okay if you do have those thoughts. It is actually okay. They're just thoughts. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you for thinking that and pushing it aside and going, no, that's not a choice. That's not for what me. I want for me. She said, that's okay too. She said, I know you're not thinking that, but I'm telling you it's okay
to have a process.
To have the process of thinking that. And what am I going to do? But it was I couldn't live with myself. I'd constantly look around being like, is that what he would have looked like? Is this what he would have looked like? You know, I just – I couldn't see myself even contemplating it or speaking to a doctor about how to even go about it.
Did she then discuss with you if there was a process of grieving or how to grieve something that is so –
I know, in the air.
And, yeah,
and she did talk me through it in terms of this is just you thinking of the future. But she's like, but each child has a different personality. You are going to have different relationships with each of them. It's not necessarily what's going to happen. Just because you can see that that's what's going to happen, it doesn't mean that's what's actually going to happen for you and for your life.
Yeah.
And you can also choose. You know, there's meddling and there's meddling, obviously, in your children's life. Obviously now we're just like on top of them all the time, and as adults you can see what works and what doesn't. But she did say you have to honor the fact that this is a loss for you, and that's also okay because it's something that you saw for yourself, you wanted for yourself, you made every intention of making it for yourself, and then it didn't happen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's interesting. It's almost like if someone envisioned a specific career or a specific partner and that thing didn't unfold, they got to that point in their life and they had to let go or grieve or something. This just is a sticky subject because it's got a life attached to it.
Yeah.
And there is so much stigma.
Yeah, 100%. And
like, you shouldn't feel that.
I shouldn't feel that because
you have a healthy child.
Exactly.
You should never think that thing.
Exactly.
Get some perspective.
Yeah. It's like, just pull your head in. You've got another healthy baby. And 100%, I would lead with that. It's not, I'm upset with him. I'm not upset with him. It's not that I do not want him. It's not that I do not love him. It is the fact that I would really love to have a mother-daughter relationship. And it's not a guarantee that
It will be that.
It will be that because it's not a guarantee who my children will end up with, whether I'll have a daughter-in-law, not have a daughter-in-law. And it's not the same when someone says, oh, but like, you know, your friends have girls and you can do things with them.
Or you have nieces or you have...
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, well, that's not the same as having your own daughter.
Intimate relationship with your child. Yeah, yeah.
It's completely different.
So then how did you get to a point of peace?
I think I literally carried it with me the whole pregnancy. And it was so hard. And it took me a long time to announce as well. And I never forget, my GP rang me. She's also an auntie. And she said, listen, I know you're not announcing yet. And she said, I understand. She said, but just think of it from his perspective. If it ever comes out, mummy didn't want to talk about it because mummy was sad about the fact that I'm a boy. And when she said it like that, I did think this isn't a good thing, really.
How long are we talking that she brought that up? How far along were you?
I'm trying to think. I found out early. It was like probably around 10, 11 weeks. And then I waited. I really did want another, like the sort of 12-week scan, because at this point I'd waited 5 years between pregnancies and I thought, look, as much as I had to, really good pregnancies the first time, I'm not kidding myself, time has moved on. I'm older, as my husband loves to say. So I wanted all the boxes 100%, checked.
Yeah.
And especially before telling the boys
but
as well.
But 3 months is normal.
I think I waited another couple of weeks.
And
I was also telling the boys as well. And I also wanted to just make sure for them, because they didn't know. I mean,
what do they care? Yeah.
Yeah. Mummy's eating more. I think that's what they said. Like, is that why you've been eating more? I was like, thanks, boys. Really appreciate it. I wanted also for me to be in a space where I wasn't sad about it. I didn't want to repeat, not that Cooper would remember at all, that I cried after finding out about Mason. I just wanted to make sure that I was in a good headspace to share that news with them.
Yeah.
And once I saw how excited they were, it changed it. But I still had visions at 20 weeks where I was like, maybe they made a mistake, you know, and they're
going to... You're still hopeful or in denial.
And I was like,
I can see you emotional.
I'm so emotional because I feel bad because I am obsessed with him. Like if you see...
I know, he's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful and he's so amazing and it's not him.
And I think we need to take that off the table.
And that's why, like, it is...
But you're feeling guilty.
I feel guilty for both of them, for Mason and for Nate, that I wasn't this, like, glowy...
Gushing.
Floating on air, because I also had really easy pregnancies, as much as I did have a bit of nausea and throwing up or whatever, but that's so standard. I have really, they're really good passengers. And so, you know, that guilt that I have to live with that is very hard to let go of, I had to walk around with. And the fact that I still at 20 weeks was like, maybe there's not.
It's a mistake.
Maybe it's a mistake.
And you did have a little hope?
I think, yeah, I kept...
Or just denial? Like,
I had this vision that they were like, oh, so sorry. That was not that. That was something else.
It's not a doodle. Yeah.
But silly, because it was DNA. Like, it's very little chance. And I was like, oh, maybe they had the wrong tab. Maybe it was my tab from when I had Mason and, you know, all these
silly
things.
But even all these thoughts show the level in which you're trying to bargain your way into making sense.
Yeah.
Like, I've never thought of those things because that wasn't my experience. Yeah. But for you, you're like, you're in a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Of how to make this a possibility.
Yeah, because there's no returns policy, really, with kids. So it was like, it was also accepting, like, this is my reality and this is my life. And I did say to my husband, and I was still pregnant at the time, I said, I really do think we can't take four off the table. I don't know if I can get over not having a girl. And he was just like, so glad you're picking as I'm driving to tell me this story.
Are you still there?
I go up and down. It depends on how the older two are that day. Because, you know, I realized by the third one, as you go, babies are really easy
really easy.
As long as, God forbid, there's no major health issues and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they don't talk back and they don't scream and they just do and they just love you.
Yeah,
they just love you. So I don't feel – it's funny. I don't feel done. And maybe that's why, because I don't have a girl.
Yeah.
But I also can't imagine that that's the last time I have a little baby.
You're not done then.
So but,
you're definitely not done.
But I don't know if I have to then maybe change husbands for that, because I don't know if he's willing to.
Hey, someone has a sperm.
Yeah, nice. I don't know what it is. But
you could. But what would happen for that fourth boy?
Well, this is
if.
If. So this is – and that's the other thing is – you know, my chance. So there are families that I know in our immediate circle that have three boys and then a girl.
Oh.
And I remember, and they never found out the gender until the day of delivery, which is not
holy moly
for me at all. But they both wanted four. That it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Girl was a bonus. Didn't matter. But I remember asking my friend, I said, what did you do differently? And I remember asking this of another good friend who had two boys and then a girl before I attempted a third. And they were like, nothing. And I was like, you guys are really unhelpful because
it's just another, it's like Russian roulette, right?
It's
like
100%. It can work. Whatever they did, I could have tried and it wouldn't necessarily have worked either.
And there'd be people going, well, do you want four kids?
Yeah.
Or do you want a girl?
Yeah.
Do you want four kids or do you want a girl? And I guess that for you is the same.
It's the same. And it's hard.
Dilemma.
Yeah. Because I never pictured myself.
You want it that bad.
Yeah. And I never pictured myself with four kids. I will say that. Like on a, when I pictured a family photo. But then on the flip side, I never pictured myself without a daughter. So it's, I'm in this like limbo phase in life, and
you desperately want this. Desperately want a girl.
Yeah, and I know it's silly because I know so many people be like, but it doesn't matter. You know, they might
but
be.
But this is about you right now.
Yeah,
you desperately want,
I want
a daughter.
I want that relationship because I think, obviously, like you know what it's like. You sadly lost your mum. One day, mum won't be here, which I can't even ever think about, and I don't know how you do it. But I want to have. I want to give. And I know I can give it to my boys, but it's just different. I just want to be able to give the same that mum gave to me.
Mm.
And it's not to say again that I can't do that with my boys, but in the way that I know how family dynamics work, it's just not always the same.
Mm.
It's just not always the same with families, and it's complicated. And, you know, it's just girls really do more often than not. They want their mums all the time, and they don't care if they're in their back pocket. But their mother-in-laws, maybe not so much. And so it's just something that I've really held on to. I, you know, I loved going to ballet classes and I just desperately want to take someone to ballet class. And yes, I could do that with a friend of mine. And a friend of mine, she did call me and she couldn't do the bun for a ballet concert. And I was just so happy to be able to do that. And, but when I went home, I rang my mom and I'm like, I'm so sad because I, at the moment, I don't get to do that. Even if the boys did do a ballet class, they don't have man buns, so I couldn't even do that. But it's just like I was like, I really just want that for myself.
Wow. So you're experiencing a loss, but constantly through
other people's
experiences.
Because all my immediate friends at least have one girl, if not two. So
it's so fascinating for me to hear this because it's I don't have any understanding of this experience. And it's really, like, I really appreciate your honesty in this because I'm seeing it in a whole different perspective. Like, when, I guess, a daughter walks down the aisle, your experience versus, like, there's going to be different silly, that's a silly milestone, but things that project to you that you won't have this experience.
Yes.
And that is what you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
and it still feels very present.
It still feel it's because it's every day. It's every day when friends are like, oh, you know, we're going to ballet on this weekend. And I know I just always lean it back to ballet, but it and I know it's very stereotypical, but it's those sorts of things. And oh, we're going, you know, to get our nails done together. We're going shopping, or you know, we're doing this and that and the other. That you see as they get older, the boys are not gonna. They're not gonna do that.
Mm.
I'll be lucky. You know, take them around shopping. Granted, one of them might be really interested in fashion. I don't know that. And that is very true. I don't know who they're going to be.
Mm. But in the old traditional way.
In the old
way,
tradition, which is so silly because it's not these days.
And we're progressive, and I know that. And lots of people are going to be saying, you know, you could have a trans child.
100%.
Or you could have this, or you could have that, or the experiences are very fluid.
Yeah, but it's not now. It's not now.
Well, currently, because they're still so little, they don't even know who they are.
They don't know who they are.
So you...
And their personalities change 1,000 times in a minute, so...
It's an interesting thing that you say this, especially in relationship to your relationship with your mum, right? Because what happened for me when I found out I was having a girl, I spiraled. So I thought my second was a boy and I felt confident in that.
Yeah.
I'd had a boy.
Yeah,
I knew what to expect.
Yeah.
I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not having a girl the first time. And then it was a fleeting thing because my psychic had said I was having a girl. So I'd assumed it was a girl.
That's interesting.
And then it was a boy and I was like, okay. But it was weird because my head was in the girl zone.
Yeah.
So the second I thought it was a boy. And so when I was told it was a girl, I spiraled and I had a session with my therapist around not thinking I would ever be able to be the mother my mother was to me.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So I desperately wanted to be able to achieve a relationship like we had, but I never thought I would be able to. So I felt like I was going to let her down and never be able to give her that unconditional love that my mother gave me. So I had to work through. It's wild.
And look, and you always have to remember that when you're pregnant, your hormones are, and when you become a mother anyway, your hormones are always on some sort of rampage.
Mm.
And it makes you have these visions of things that always just create serious emotions that you have to work through.
You do.
In order to kind of just go, right, start my day again. And I'll be honest, it's not like it's debilitating that every moment of every day it comes up. But there are
flickers
and milestones that people reach where I go, am I going to have that?
Yeah, it's funny. This is a bit TMI, but whatever. I was in the bathroom yesterday. She was with me and I was changing my tampon.
Yeah.
Which is...
No, well, so...
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, this is... Baby, this is what they look like. This is a tampon. And she's 20 and months. She has no idea.
She's just like,
and
yeah,
I'm
mom,
like,
cool.
I just went, holy shit, she's going to get a period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had that moment where I was like, and then I went, holy shit, I hope you never get endometriosis. And I was all in this.
Yeah. And she's like...
And she's just like standing there
like, it's
like no idea.
A lolly or a toy. She doesn't know what to do with it.
And it's such a funny thing that I'm, I guess, having an experience parallel to yours. Mm. But mine feels sometimes quite overwhelming and negative with... Holy shit, a girl, or are those shorts too short on her? Or you know what I mean?
And I do feel like, and it's so funny because people say to me all the time, they're like, oh, girls are like such hard work and there's so much drama and and you know, when they're teenagers and this and that. And I'm like, I get it. And I know it's a very different era to when I grew up and I understand that. But in my house, so there's myself and my brother who's younger, and I know he won't mind me saying this. If you ask my mum who was a better teenager, she will say, hands down, it was me.
Wow, I was terrible.
I was just...
I'm terrified.
Blah, easy. I mean, knowing my karma, I'm going to get my brother. My boys already look like him, so I'm sure there'll be some sort of payback. But I was really just steadfast, easygoing.
Kid.
There was very little, like, pushback, rebellion, none of this stuff.
No drugs, no early sex, none of that.
None of that. Like, just... Finish school.
You. Go you, girl.
Went to uni.
I think you're a minority.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I had mere moments, but like nothing that mum and dad were like, oh, my God, what
are
we going to
do? Yes.
What are we going to do with her? And so, you know, for me, I'm like, well, if I get, which is silly. It's another, it's
you
not
think you're
going
to have your experience.
I'm going to have me. And I might not get me.
No, you will not.
Because at the moment, well, Nate, we don't really know where he sits. But for the two boys, I don't really think they've got either my husband or my easygoing, although some people might say I'm not easygoing, personality. So, again, it doesn't mean that if I have a girl, she's going to be like me. Or if I have a girl, we're going to have a super close relationship. It's not that. But I also don't want to live my life almost like...
Not knowing.
And
it sounds like to me, this definitely isn't shut for you.
No.
Only because, like, the four kid thing does sound intense for
it's
you.
It's very intense.
When you say that this is coming up as a daily occurrence, it would be really interesting to figure out how you'd put it to bed.
Yeah, and I don't think I could.
Would adoption be a thing, you know, where it's a sure thing or because...
Maybe. Look, you can do gender selection. You'd have to go overseas.
Overseas.
So there
is... And some say that's playing with God.
I know, and for sure. Although somehow, like they did vote, I remember it was just either just before I had Mason or just after Australia did knock it back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for family balancing, I mean, but obviously because of my position, that's my position. And I'm like, I understand not for firsts or even seconds, but if I've gone 3-4 times, because I'm not going to be like one of those families that I see on Instagram that have like 7 boys and then the 8th one is a girl. That's just too many kids. Like that is way, and all power to them. I'm very happy for them. But I don't have, I'm like, I'm not letting God. It's just, that's not going to, I'm not going to
risk that. You
don't
trust anymore his choices for you.
No.
So in summary, is there something that you wish people would understand or respect when talking about pregnancy, gender and things like that from your experience?
I think if you can see, look, for some people, they may have 3 boys and they may be just loving life and being like, this is what I wanted. I wanted this, and for sure. But I also think you can't, and it's like those people who didn't know me saying, oh, I'm so sorry and I'm so this and I'm so that. Because you don't know what someone's internalizing and dealing with. And it's really, it's so hard to say to people, don't really say anything. Just be, you know, oh, that's so lovely for you and I hope you're feeling well and this, that and the other. Like there's so many other things to say.
But don't project, be like.
But don't project your sadness because trust me, I've already got it.
I just want to say, because we'll finish it up here, but I really hope, speaking down the barrel, that all of you find kindness and softness when listening to this episode. We are not we are not accepting or having any hate or negativity towards this discussion. You're putting yourself out there and I'm deeply, pardon the pun, thankful for this conversation.
No, today. I'm glad I got an opportunity to talk about it because as much as everyone has their own experience and if you don't want to talk about your gender disappointment, that's fine. But I hope that by hearing it, it gives you some validation if that's what you're going through.
And connection
and realize that you're not the only person who's suffering with it.
No.
And it's okay to have those feelings. And if you're going through it, you will love that little person when they arrive, I promise you.
And you might get some DMs.
And I might get some DMs and that's okay. Yes. And you can just remember just to be respectful when you do it.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Deep. If it's left you with any burning questions for me or our guests, please hit us up by direct message on Instagram at What's The Deep.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, everybody. It is Zoe here. Change is coming to the deep. I want to welcome you to Arise. It's uplifting, it's quirky, it's curious. It's all about the mindset and self-discovery to be more helpful and of service. During 16 of the Deep, you will hear some of these episodes, and I'd love to hear what you think of them over on our Instagram at What's The Deep.